To get a complete grip on what happened that day, one must first consider the magnitude of the snowstorm. Weather records show there hadn't been a storm like it in at least 50 years, and since meteorology was a bit more primitive then, this particular snowstorm was not in the forecast. Saturday, November 15th, and Sunday the 16th, two notable days because in that period, 8 inches of snow fell in central Tucson. In the Santa Rita Mountains, it was more like 7 feet. The day the storm hit, a group of 6 Boy Scouts from Tucson were hiking in the Santa Ritas. There were 2 16-year-olds, a 13-year-old, a pair of 12-year-olds, and an 11-year-old. There were no adults hiking with them. A father of one of the boys had dropped them off at the Madera Canyon Lodge earlier that day. The scouts made camp, then set off on the Mount Baldy Trail. They badly wanted to reach the summit of the highest peak in the Tucson region. But as they climbed higher, clouds began covering the peak. It started to rain, and soon the rain turned to snow. 3 of the scouts decided to stop the hike and go back down to camp. 3 others decided to keep hiking. Those 3, Mike Early, David Greenberg, and Michael Lanoux, would disappear into a raging snowstorm on the upper slopes of the mountain. Over the next 19 days, more than 750 searchers would brave chest-deep snow and sub-zero wind chills searching for the boys. The mystery of their deaths was only heightened when their bodies were found. Now, over 50 years later, a new book recounts those events in vivid detail. Death Clouds on Mount Baldy also presents some new theories on what might have happened to the 3 young scouts. Author Kathy Hufalt's connection to the story is personal. Her brother, Ralph Coltrane, is one of the other 3 scouts who decided to stop hiking and turn around. Kathy was 15 in 1958.
Of course, we knew his part of the story, and I went to gather more information about the other scouts. There was another survivor that I was able to interview. And then over the course of a year and a half, I was able to interview over 100 people. It was somewhat difficult because the trail had gone cold. Many people had died. But we were able to find some firsthand accounts that were quite important to the whole story.
Kathy Hufalt and her brother Ralph Coltrane aren't afraid to confront the uncomfortable memories that come from talking about the tragedy. One question Ralph has been asked a lot is, why were there no adults on the hike? Ralph admits that an adult probably wouldn't have let the group split up and would have called off the hike as weather conditions worsened.
It was part of the program, actually, that time that we would go on hikes without the scoutmaster. So this was not totally, unusual. On this particular hike, I thought that Mike Early's dad would stay with us. I was quite surprised when he dropped us off and then turned around and headed back to Tucson. But being 12 years old at the time, it wasn't a big issue for me.
Ralph Coltrane touches again on the magnitude of the snowstorm and how it simply wasn't in the forecast. In fact, Saturday the 15th had started out fair.
Actually, the weather that day was quite nice, and it was pleasant, and the forecast was for more of the same, maybe a little windy, no chance of rain, and then boom, here it comes out of nowhere. That's the biggest snowstorm I can remember in Tucson.
Kathy Hufalt says a convergence of factors led to the boys' deaths, but perhaps the biggest mistake was splitting into 2 groups just as the snow started to fall. She notes one of the older scouts who decided to abandon the hike did so for a reason.
And you have to admire the one scout, the 16-year-old, who gave up on his quest to achieve the top of Mount Baldy and take the 2 tired boys, the younger boys, my brother and the 11-year-old, back to base camp. He tried to talk the other group into coming back with them, but they were determined. They wanted to continue. But it was a whole series of things that created the tragedy. It wasn't just that decision to continue hiking. It was bad luck, as it were. Because on any other day for the last 50 years, if someone had made that decision, they would not have lost their lives.
There are some other known factors that probably led to the boys' deaths. The younger ones were inexperienced hikers. It was getting dark, snow was piling up, and temperatures were plummeting. Then they took a wrong turn. They began descending a much steeper trail that led them away from their base camp and away from the other group heading down the mountain. And then the oldest boy, Mike Early, slipped, fell down a steep slope, and broke his leg.
the two little boys that were with him, one of them had only been a scout for 5 days. They couldn't drag him back up the slope. They had to stay with him 100 feet down slope off the trail. And they made a heroic effort. They did a heck of a job making a little shelter, making a fire, and trying to create some sort of signal. And it was just their inexpertise, and we don't even feel that the older boy was able to help them at that point. So when you think that you've got a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old trying to survive the snowstorm of the century, it just breaks your heart.
Of course, at that time, the people wore, you know, cotton instead of the waterproof clothing that you have so much now. But, you know, with the broken leg and those boys stuck on the side of the mountain, they were in no condition to, you know, survive the storm. The worst part about it for them, you know, of course the snow was bad, but it rained for 3 hours first, you know, and soaked them. And I think that was the boy.
It also broke the hearts of more than 750 people who searched for the boys for the next 3 weeks.
And it was quite an assortment of folks. Of course, the Sheriff's Department and the Army and the Air Force, Explorer Scouts, cowboys on horseback, just a whole assortment of folks that were coming out and trying to find these kids. They became, for the community, our kids.
The search operation for the scouts was the largest in Arizona history, and it became obvious after only a few days that the rescue mission had become a recovery effort. The man who eventually found the boys' bodies was a Patagonia rancher named Mike Nagy.
He just woke up that morning so determined, and he said, "I'm going up and get them boys today." He saddled his favorite horse, J. Little Palo, and took off for Josephine's Saddle from Patagonia. And as Mike is directing the soldiers along the trail, all of a sudden J. Little Palo stops. And he's quite jittery. He's looking all around, and his ears are moving. And Mike Nagy knew in his gut something was there. And he called over a couple of soldiers, and he asked them, "Go down and check up down there." And within a few minutes, they found the first of the boys. And the signal at the time was to be 2 gunshots. Well, Mike took out his gun and he shot off 2 shots. And then he waited a few minutes and he shot off 2 more. The search was over. The boys had been found.
In doing the research for her book, Death Clouds on Mount Baldy, Kathy Hufault talked to over 100 people, and each remembered the tragedy like it was yesterday. The events of that late fall in 1958 still weigh heavily in the minds of many, including survivor Ralph Coltrane. He says his sister's book is a sort of closure.
I've always heard the boys cry out to me that, you know, don't forget us. Because I've had, you know, over the years, kind of a sense of unfounded, naturally, of abandonment for some reason that they were left alone up there, and it almost seems that they're found again now.
Over the years, several memorials to the boys have appeared along the Mount Baldy Trail. In fact, thousands of hikers have seen the memorial on what's known as Josephine's Saddle. It reads simply, "Strangers pause here and remember David Greenberg, age 12, Mike Early, age 16, and Michael J. Lanoux, 13, who passed to a better place."
Of course, this is a sad story, and it's also an inspirational story. It's a story for all of us to keep close to our hearts and to remember the community that came together and tried so hard, because they showed true grit, Tucson and Southern Arizona, for their boys.
3 days after the Mountains surrendered the boys' bodies back to their parents, a letter appeared on the front page of the Arizona Daily Star. It was written by David Greenberg Sr., father of 12-year-old David Greenberg Jr., who died on the mountain.
To my son on his great adventure. Dear son, some people down here say that you were foolish to reach for the top of the mountain, that this was a task for a grown man. I do not believe this. All kids at some time or other in their lives want to think that they are grown men ahead of their time and try to reach for the stars. Some of your friends and mine tell me that you failed to reach your goal. Not so. Your great adventure led you to the very top itself. Not the mountain, it is true, but to the very heavens. The hand that holds this pen falters, the ink runs dry, and the tears fall. In the language you knew and loved so well, adios, adios, your mother and father.
Kathy Hufalt is author of the new book, Death Clouds on Mount Baldy. She and her brother Ralph Coltrane still live in the Tucson area. They both say they hope the book will keep the memories of the three boys alive for generations to come. I'm Mark Dugan for Arizona Spotlight.
I went up to the mountain because you asked me to. Up over the clouds, where the sky